For people in Oxford, Michigan, it's been a year since a 15-year-old high school student shot and killed four classmates at Oxford High and injured seven more. He's pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and terrorism charges. His parents are charged with involuntary manslaughter. Prosecutors say they had ignored signs that their son was gravely troubled and bought him a gun as an early Christmas present just 4 days before he shot students at school. Michigan Radio's April Baer is host of the podcast Oxford 1 Year Later, and she's been collecting personal stories from families and friends of the victims. April, thanks for taking the time with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
There just seem to be so many school shootings these days. What was it about this one at Oxford High School that caught your attention?
Well, the things that happened in the days leading up to the shooting are really quite striking. This happened in the week after Thanksgiving, and as students were going about their classes on Monday and Tuesday, there were two incidents in which staff found the shooter, in the first case researching ammunition on his phone, and in the second case making disturbing drawings. He was called into the office on both occasions. And at the second meeting, it was actually the day of the shooting. His parents were there, and school staff told them that he should be sent home for the day. And his parents pushed back and said that he should not be sent home. It happens that the gun that he used in the shootings was in his backpack at that time. His backpack was not searched. His parents did not mention that they'd bought him a handgun. And the shooter went back to class, and then at 12:51 p.m. that day, he walked out of a boys' bathroom with that gun and began firing at people.
So a year later, this story is still developing, actually. School board members have resigned. They're speaking out about how the school did not follow its own safety procedures. What did the school administration do wrong here, and what questions are being asked about who failed?
Well, accountability is sort of the word that's on everyone's lips right now. The fact that the school indeed had safety plans that had been developed in prior years, according to some federal safety suggestions, and that staff in the building either did not know or chose not to follow those plans. We understand from our reporting that the staff who were involved with the shooter did not know those plans, that there should have been a meeting of a security assessment team who would be able to make a decision about whether or not he should remain in school. There was some question about the armed security guard who was on site that day, what she did or did not do. As you mentioned, some members of the Oxford School Board resigned, and they just went on the record on Monday talking about this, saying that not only did they feel that wrongdoing happened, but they felt in some ways responsible. They were using information that they had available to them, and they said they felt the victims and their families deserved more.
Well, let's listen to an excerpt from the podcast. One of the victims, Hannah St. Juliana, was only 14 years old. Here are her sister, Raina, and her father, Steve, talking to each other about the impact of the tragedy 1 year later.
I feel like I wake up every morning kind of figuring out who I am. Now without Hannah, I think each day is different. And again, it's like nothing is normal.
I mean, since you don't go to the high school for your classes, you're taking community college classes. How does that feel as far as being away from the school and away from your senior year?
It definitely makes me mad. I feel like there is so much stolen from our family, from me. Regarding the school, I mean, it is my choice to not go back there, but I do find it unfair that, I want my childhood. Like, I want my last year of my high school. I want to be with my friends. I want to mess around in my classes and walk the hallways. I guess I don't find many things that I can relate to with people my age, right now, at least. I have a hard time being around them and feeling okay because my mind is always somewhere else. How has your life changed as a whole after the shooting?
So for me, it's been a major shift in outlook and priorities. It's difficult to prioritize anything other than our family at this point, to tell you the truth. I think my view of society has turned a lot more cynical I can remember when I first traveled overseas and lived overseas, I would speak very, very proudly and of being an American. And I have a hard time doing that now. I look around and I think that our country's in trouble. What has helped you the most to deal with the fallout for everything that's happened?
To be honest, I think seeing others fight for the truth and asking questions, demanding answers. I mean, like the parents who showed up at all the school board meetings, the parents who are emailing the superintendent constantly, you know. I think what has helped the most out of everything is the things people do for Hannah. And then also for the shirts we designed for Hannah. Like, I think just seeing someone wear it makes my day.
It's a nice little boost.
Yeah, it's like people are remembering Hannah for Hannah, and it's just, it's everything I want. I just want people to remember her for her sarcastic remarks and then her contagious laugh that followed after. And even though she was sarcastic, her thoughtfulness and her ability to notice the smallest of details and her big heart.
Steve talks about prioritizing family after this tragedy. April, how do you think this has uprooted their lives? How do they function day to day?
Well, I think that's a question that every family touched by Oxford and by every school shooting probably finds themselves facing and confounded by. You know, Steve talked in our time with him about just getting up and doing the things that need to be done. But as you may have gathered from that, Raina, Hannah's older sister, is not attending classes at Oxford this year. She is attending in a community college. It was something she felt was just too much.
What struck you about the interviews you did?
I think everyone who was involved in the project would say it was the sense of anger. There are a number of members of the Oxford school community who've become politically active since the shootings. Some have been involved in March for Our Lives. There have been many, many very angry school board meetings and some trips to the state capitol in Lansing to talk about how things could be different. Some of it is very specific to gun policy. Some of it specific to mental health issues. And there's still the ongoing question of how the victims are being remembered, all four of them, Hannah St. Juliana, of course, but also Madison Baldwin and Justin Schilling, who were both 17, and Tate Meir, who was 16 years old when he died. There's a temporary memorial in the school that has been the subject of no small amount of controversy because of its location and the manner of access that people have to it. There is a remembrance room that the high school has under construction as a more long-term solution. And Hannah's family is also planning to fundraise for a garden to remember the four victims at a nearby park in Oxford.
April Baer is host of the podcast Oxford One Year Later and the Daily Stateside on Michigan Radio. April, thank you for bringing this to us. We appreciate it.
Glad to do it, Jane.